This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Andrew Cooper. He's executive chef at Terra Restaurant at the Four Seasons Rancho Encantado. And we're here to talk about Thanksgiving dinner and its many manifestations. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, Thanksgiving dinner, I was just looking up Thanksgiving dinner the other day, and I noticed that the first Thanksgiving feast was actually documented what they ate. You want to hear what they ate?
Yeah, definitely.
Turkey, waterfowl, venison, fish, lobster, clams, berries, fruit, pumpkin, and squash.
Why not?
You know?
That's a feast right there.
So,
a little bit of everything.
For you New Englanders, if you feel like having lobster on Thanksgiving.
Why not?
It's traditional.
Exactly.
But what do we think of as traditional now? Like, what do you cook as a chef, and what do you cook for yourself on Thanksgiving?
So for me, Thanksgiving is one of the greatest holidays. I mean, it brings everyone closer together. It's a way to load up on all different types of foods, carbohydrates, proteins. I mean, it's incredible what you could consume. But what's amazing about this time of the year, all the fall vegetables that come in, the rutabagas, the squashes, the Brussels sprouts, the turnips. I mean, it's incredible all the stuff that's here. So for me, it's a fun way just to relax and have fun. There's all different types of turkeys. I know we're going to talk about turkeys later, but I think turkeys is a very important topic because there's so many different turkeys out there. And you're not sure which to buy or how to buy it. And then turkeys can get very expensive. There's three different categories that you should be aware of. Of course, you know, when you go to the supermarket, the butter balls, then there's heritage, and then there's organic or big, they call it big-breasted white or something like that, where the difference is, when you're talking about a butterball, it's coming from a feedlot. So a feedlot, it's not the greatest ideal conditions for a bird. So
yeah, confined feeding.
Confined feeding. So when you get them, they look fantastic in the supermarket. They're big. They look big, but they're frozen solid. They've been frozen solid in freezers for a long period.
Lord knows how long.
Exactly. Another thing you have to be aware of with those little birds is that yes, the price is going to be very cost effective, but when you look at it and you take the plastic wrapping off it, they look all big and, you know, full, but they've been injected with saline solutions. That way, once you cook it, all that water content comes out and it becomes a very tough and dry bird.
Oh my goodness.
So that's another thing to consider. The heritage birds, it's one of the most traditional birds out there. It's free range. It's raised properly. And the difference between the free range and the organic is that the free range has a little bit more darker meat ratio compared to the white meat ratio, whereas the organic has more white meat to dark meat. And
I like dark meat.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I love a heritage bird. That's what we're serving at the restaurant. It has a more richer flavor than organic. It costs a little bit more money, but it's well worth it. And organic, you know, you're looking at $6 a pound for a bird, so you could go upwards of anywhere to $80 for a bird.
Right.
So you have to be willing to understand the price that goes into it. But the flavors compared to organic and a heritage, I would say they're both going to cook the same, both have the same water content, they're both going to be amazing birds. But if you like darker meat like I do, I would tend to go more with the heritage bird.
And also, I've been really getting more and more aware of eating healthy food and how important that is. And when you eat organic food or food without GMOs or without pesticides or without antibiotics and stuff like that, it actually really makes a difference to your health and above all to your children's health.
But also that, you also know where it's coming from too. I mean, you know it's not fed with all these steroids or antibiotics or hormones to, you know, because that's just going to affect your health later on in life. So know where it comes from, know where you're buying from, and then just try and be as healthy as possible. Speaking of healthy, grains, quinoa, barley, all these fun things that are coming back into play. I mean, you're talking about healthy alternatives for sides. When you talk Thanksgiving in the fall, you're talking cranberries, pumpkins, squashes. You know, add in some quinoa, add in some kale. You know, make a really fun kale salad with quinoa. And then you could put cranberries in there. You could put pumpkins in there, pumpkin seeds in there. So it's a fun alternative for a side. It's fresh, it's fun, it's healthy.
Let's go back for a moment to the turkey itself. Now, how early do you have to get up to stuff your bird and cook it?
Well, this is a good thing. There's so many different ways to cook a turkey now. People are talking about, oh, I'm going to fry my turkey this year, or I'm going to break apart my turkey and cook it separately. Couple things. If you are going to fry a turkey, please, please be very careful. Frying a turkey is the greatest way to set your house on fire or set things on fire if you don't know what you're doing.
Now, by fry, we mean deep fry?
Deep fry a whole turkey.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big trend that's happening now. But if you look on the news, the amount of homes that have been burned down because of it, because you can't take a turkey that's been frozen or still is frozen and drop it into a hot container of fry oil. You know, oil and water do not mix. So if you are going to do it, please be outside somewhere where it's away from your house or building.
In the middle of a parking lot with no cars in it and
exactly.
No shrubs for half a mile.
Exactly. What's good about that is that you're frying your turkey. You'll be cooking it at about 225 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit in the fryer. It's going to take about 35 to 40 minutes. So the cooking time will be cut in half drastically. You have a nice crispy outside and juicy inside. But it's a lot of oil to buy just for a turkey. So unless you're doing frying in your house, that's not the greatest thing.
What do you do?
For me, I like to break apart the turkey. I like to take off the legs and thighs, take out the bones, stuff it with some sage butter, and then braise it in the oven so it's beautifully soft and tender. It's a nice roulade. And then you could slice it. With the breast, what I like to do is I take the breast off the bone. And that way, what I could do is I could roast off the bone, make a sauce, and then turn the sauce into the gravy. So, you know, it cuts down the time dramatically. It has, I use it for all different purposes because once I roast the bones, I put the dark meat on top of the bone, so it adds more flavor to my stock. So when I'm getting ready to make the gravy, it's a rich, fortified stock and full of flavor. And then the gravy is just outstanding because then I could use that stock also for my stuffing as well.
Nice. You got it all figured out.
Oh, I love Thanksgiving.
I love Thanksgiving, too. In fact, I actually, confession, do not like to cook except on Thanksgiving.
Really?
And on Thanksgiving, I love to cook and try new things and different kinds of stuffing. And I stopped eating bread a while back because, I don't know, it's a yeast or gluten or whatever. It doesn't agree with me that well. And so I've been making wild rice or rice. They have this at Trader Joe's. They have this like wild rice. I think it's called medley or mix
right.
or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You mix that with your fruits and a little bit of brandy.
Why not?
And sometimes some dried apricots and things like that. It's so good.
It adds flavor to it and it's a different alternative.
And for those who do want to cook the whole turkey,
mm-hmm.
there are formulas of how many hours per or minutes or whatever per pound.
The best thing I could tell you, if you buy a turkey from the supermarket, it has one of those plastic thermometers that's stuck into the breast, please do me a favor before you even put it in the oven, take it out and throw it away. Those things have been frozen, defrosted, frozen, they're rusted, they don't work. Go to the supermarket, invest in a $5 thermometer so you can see the internal temperature. And then what you want to do is you want to cook the turkey. It's going to take about 2.5 to 3 hours, if not a little more, depending on the size of the bird. But some things to look for when you're cooking it. What I like to do is I lift up the breast, the two breasts, and I lift up the skin from the breast, and I insert some sage and butter into it. So that way when it's cooking, it's basting it. It's cooking it with more flavors inside. In the actual cavity, I put some garlic, oranges, thyme, parsley, some herbs, some sage, and I let that cook. And then I tie the legs together so that way when it's steaming inside, you're getting all those incredible flavors that go inside the bird. when you're cooking the turkey, you're going to start to notice that maybe the skin of the breast is going to get really dark. If it's getting too dark and it still has a while to go where it's not cooked, take some lettuce leaves, romaine lettuce leaves or iceberg, put it over the breast itself, and that way it'll prevent it from burning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so there's a little tip for you.
There's a trick.
Yeah. And then after it's finished, you just take away the lettuce, and you have a beautiful crispy skin.
And it's still crispy.
And it's still crispy.
Excellent. Yeah. Very good to know.
And also, when you feel the bird is ready, you're looking for an internal temperature. A lot of places, they tell you to wait until it's an internal temperature of 160 degrees Fahrenheit. If you pull it out at 160 degrees Fahrenheit, your bird will be extremely dry. Because once it comes out, you still have to let it rest before slicing it. So my recommendation is pull the bird out at 150 to 155 degrees Fahrenheit. Let it sit outside, you know, outside meaning in your kitchen, and let it come and rest. Because what you want to do is you want the juices to get back into the rest of the bird and relax itself. And because if you slice the bird as soon as it comes out of the oven, all the juices are just going to run right out.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's going to be left with a dry bird.
Now, in terms of making gravy, there's a lot of different things you can do. And one thing that I always do is I take some of the pan drippings and put them by themselves in a little jar. And then a little pitcher, and you just eat pan drippings on your turkey.
Why not? You know, that's a great way to do it. Also, my grandmother used to do that as well. She used to just save all that into a Maxwell House coffee container so that way later on she could use it. But what's great about the pan drippings is it's an instant sauce right there. Add a little bit of flour. If you can't have flour, there's an alternative flour I was talking to you last time about.
Yeah, cup for cup
flour. It's a flour invented by the French Laundry and Thomas Keller. And for people who have allergies to gluten, this is the same equivalent to all-purpose flour, but gluten-free. And then all you have to do is just add a little bit of flour to it, thicken it up. It's what's called making a roux. And then all you have to do is just add a little bit of your turkey stock or water or vegetable stock, and then it starts to make this amazing sauce right there in your pan. And it does two things for you. It cleans up all of the fat and grease that's in your pan, and it also cleans the pan because once you make the sauce, it comes right out, and it makes cleaning up so much easier.
Yeah.
So it's another alternative for you.
Excellent. We're talking to Andrew Cooper about Thanksgiving dinner. Now, let's talk about side dishes. You mentioned all kinds of grains like barley and quinoa and things like that. Now, what about green things? What green things do you make?
Well, green things, I love chard. I love kale. I love beets. I love goat cheese. A fun thing to do is to, maybe as an appetizer as well, is make a little beet and goat cheese tart. And then you could saute up some greens, put that on the bottom, use maybe a little bit of phyllo dough or puff pastry, and make almost like a little beet and goat cheese tart, and then have it sitting on a bed of kale and spinach and chard. I mean, it's a fun way to enjoy all the vegetables. It has textures, it has flavor, you know, and that's a fun thing. Roasted sweet potatoes, a traditional thing to have, roasted squashes. You put a little bit of the marshmallow on top, a little maple syrup, brown sugar.
Do you put marshmallow really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love marshmallows. I have two kids, so we have marshmallows in the house all the time.
Okay.
Using all the root vegetables, another fun thing to do is instead of having the traditional mashed potato, you could do a double stuffed potato. So what you do is you roast a potato, you scoop it out almost like you're making potato skins. And then what you do is you add some herbs, some cheese, like you're making mashed potatoes, but then add an egg yolk to it. Whisk it back in, put it into maybe a piping bag, or just pop it back into the actual potato shell, and then bake it again in the oven. It's going to have a nice golden texture on top. It's going to have a little crunch on top, and then soft mashed potatoes on the inside.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's a fun alternative to using
a little bit of egg there.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives it that color, it gives it that shine, it gives it the texture. It's a fun alternative.
Very interesting.
Sweet potatoes are great. Pumpkins are amazing. Use the baby pumpkins and serve your soup in there. So if you make a pumpkin soup, you know, maybe add some sage, maple syrup, a little bit of chorizo. If you don't want to use any milk, add a little bit of coconut milk to it. Gives it that nice creaminess, or soy milk. and pop it right back into the pumpkin itself and serve it in a little gourd.
Oh, how nice.
So,
and do you roast the pumpkin seeds?
Take the pumpkin seeds, use it as a garnish on top, and maybe put a little bit of herb oil on top, or what else could you put? You could put a little whipped cream on top of that as well. So,
I'm ready for dinner. Now, I have been told by other people, nobody ever has salad on Thanksgiving, but I've had salad on Thanksgiving.
I love salad on Thanksgiving. Okay. I love to eat salad. So with salad, pomegranate seeds, pumpkins, sweet potatoes, I mean, all these root vegetables come into play. You can make a whole root vegetable salad. You could take Brussels sprouts, shave them into a slaw, add some carrots to it, some tomatoes to it, and you have a Brussels sprout slaw or a side. But with all the winter greens that are in, you have the kale, the spinach, the arugulas, the chard. You can make a real rustic kale salad. You could do a warm citrus vinaigrette. You could do a pomegranate dressing. Add some pecans to it. You could do a maple syrup vinaigrette. I mean, a pomegranate
now
vinaigrette.
Now you're talking. Yeah. Maple syrup vinaigrette.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds sweet, but when it has all these flavors, you close your eyes and all you imagine is Thanksgiving or fall.
Yeah.
You know, it's cold outside. Come on inside and have all these warm flavors. Pears, too. Red wine poached pears. Mm. Wow. Goat cheese. Blue cheese.
Now, a lot of these side dishes are suitable for vegetarians. What do you serve to vegetarians who are not going to be eating the turkey?
A lot of things. We have tofu. And people say, oh, tofu. Tofu's boring. But tofu could be really exciting as well. But if you don't want to do that, we have cauliflower steaks. Cauliflower, it's amazing. When you slice a cauliflower, you have this beautiful ring of a cauliflower that you could just grill, pan sear, finish in the oven. And once you roast a cauliflower, it has this amazing nutty flavor to it, which is a complete different taste than a regular cauliflower. Of course, it's cauliflower, but it has this nuttiness to it and makes it so much more enjoyable, almost meatier. And then you serve that maybe with a pumpkin puree, wilted greens, vegetables. You put the steak right on top, and then maybe you take a little bit of, you get some pomegranate juice, a little bit of honey, and reduce it down in a saute pan. It becomes like a pomegranate syrup. Wow. Incredible. I mean, right there is a dish right there. You do mushroom steaks. Take some beautiful mushrooms, saute it with a little bit of olive oil, garlic, shallots, put some herbs in there, salt, pepper, and then bind it together with a little bit of tapioca flour. And that way you don't have to add any egg, you don't have to add any type of filler to it. A little bit of tapioca flour binds it together, and you can make a beautiful mushroom steak, serve it with whatever vegetables you want, and then you can make a little bit of mushroom stock, add a little bit of soy sauce to it, or tamari, reduce that down, make a nice soy glaze, and maybe a little bit of agave nectar to it, and put that right over the top of that. Oof. I mean, people who don't like vegetarian meals love this.
Yeah.
And it's so meaty and so full of flavor.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been making since I was a teenager is cannelloni.
Yeah.
And cannelloni, there's an amazing recipe in, of all places, the Time Life Italian Cookbook from the 1970s. I always like to say that was before the words low-fat and Italian cooking were ever used in the same sentence.
Yeah.
So this is it's a very rich dish with two sauces, tomato sauce and a bechamel cream sauce. But the thing that you can do with cannelloni and that I've done is you make half of it with the beef and then the other half with mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
So you substitute mushrooms for the beef, and it is so good. It's totally vegetarian that even the meat eaters will be eating that.
You want to try this one also. Take a butternut squash or roasted sweet potatoes where it's nice and sweet. You make a filling out of that, and you bind it with almond cookies. You crush up almond cookies and use that as adds texture, and they make raviolis using this filling. So it's a complete vegan dish, but it has so much flavor. And then you serve it with an apple. You can make an apple cream sauce if you wanted to, and take some fresh roasted apples and put that in there. Add some kale to that or some greens to that. I mean, that's a fun dish, and it's fresh, it's local, it's in the season.
Now, on Thanksgiving, are you cooking or are you home with family?
Oh, no, I'm cooking.
We have
over 300 reservations at the hotel. So it's funny, all the chefs that working on Thanksgiving, we know that we have to celebrate either a week before or a week after. So we see a lot of turkey, but it's so much fun just to come home and be with the family and have dinner, even if it's leftovers. And speaking of leftovers, leftovers is incredible. The next day, you're taking two pieces of bread, some cranberry sauce, some stuffing, some gravy and turkey. You make the best sandwich. You can make turkey hash. You can make enchiladas. You can make so many fun things.
And soup.
And soup, too. You know, instead of using chicken noodle soup, you have all the ingredients to make a turkey noodle soup.
And lest you think you have to wait for the next day, by 8 that evening, you can start with the leftovers.
Exactly.
Depending
exactly.
on what time you eat.
That's it. For me, I know when I come home, I'm going to have a midnight snack. So
exactly.
I'm looking forward to that as well.
Now, let's talk for a moment about desserts. We're talking with Andrew Cooper about Thanksgiving dinner, ladies and gentlemen. And desserts, I mean, it wouldn't be Thanksgiving without some kind of pie. Apple pie is my favorite.
Apple pie, pumpkin pie, pecan pie. But, you know, like I was talking earlier, grains, get quinoa, get kale, get spinach. There's an amazing recipe. I don't have it offhand, but there's
No. You're not allowed to use the word kale and dessert in the
same
sense.
Yeah, we made
seriously?
We made a dessert last year with chard and kale, and it was in a pie. We entered the Pie Mania cook-off, and it was one of the best pies out there. It was incredible. I said the same thing when my pastry chef said, "Chef, you got to try this." I'm like, "What are you talking about? It's greens for a dessert, really?" She's like, "Yeah, just try it." I tried it, and it was incredible.
What's in it?
They had baker's cheese in there. It was an amazing pie. It was almost like an Italian cake. It was just so full of flavor. But this year, my pastry chef, she's making these chocolate parfaits with parsnip puree inside it. So she's using all different root vegetables now and giving all these different flavors. But I looked at her the same thing, and I'm like, "What are you talking about, parsnip puree?" She's like, "Yeah, I take a little bit of the local whiskey, Colchagen whiskey, which is incredible. And then she makes a chocolate pudding out of it, adds a little bit of parsnip puree into it. So you get the chocolatey, you get the herbal from the parsnip. I mean, the flavors doesn't seem like it matches, but all of a sudden you're like, wow. And your mouth just opens up more. You're like, give me more.
You know, this is the difference between people who are chefs and the rest of us. You know, you think of putting that kind of stuff together.
You think it doesn't work, but I mean, you want it to be different. I mean, every year you always have to have the pecan pie, the pumpkin pie, you know, all the special desserts, but try something a little bit different, put a new twist into it.
So here's my secret for apple pie, which I think I've said probably every year for the last few years, but I'm going to say it again, which is after you peel your apples and they're resting while you make your pie crust, let them rest in a little solution of rum and brandy.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes the flavor so good, but people can't, unless you put it in way too much or leave it for too long, people can't really taste what it is. They just say, "This is a delicious apple pie."
Exactly. And if you want to put some raisins in there also, it gives it a nice kick to it, you know, a nice little sweetness to it. But the rum, I mean, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
A little bit of brown butter, brown sugar, a little rum.
That's heaven right
there. Give me a scoop of ice cream, we're all set.
And you can probably make that gluten-free pie crust with the gluten-free flour. Okay, so we've had desserts. Now, what about beverages? What do you drink? Is it all about apple cider?
Well, I like to do mulled wine. I like to do apple cider. I mean, we just like to drink in general. We like to have different beverages and cocktails. But we have fun doing it. So we take, you know, for the kids, of course, we take the apple cider. We add some orange slices, cinnamon, star anise, a little bit of juniper. Get that going. So it has a nice, real sweet flavor to it, and it's something different. For the adults, we take the mulled wine, and we add a little bit of cinnamon, cloves, and we just start making that fun and fruity and warm that up a little bit. So it has a nice warmness to it. But there's all these different cocktails now. I mean, you can make pomegranate mojitos. You can make, whatever you're in the mood for. There's so many different pumpkin spice whatever, you know.
You keep mentioning pomegranates. Are those a particular favorite for you?
I'm loving it now. You know, it's a huge antioxidant. It's extremely good for your body. And, you know, the texture has a little pop, a little tanginess to it, and it brings everything out. Plus, it has a nice appearance on the plates as well.
And it invokes Persephone in the underworld.
Okay.
In the myth of Persephone, she eats some pomegranate seeds, and as a result, she has to go to the underworld 6 months a year, which is why we have winter, because the Earth mother, Persephone's mother, is very sad and nothing grows. And then in the spring, Persephone comes out again.
I didn't know that.
Yep, all pomegranates.
I'm going to look that up later.
Anyway, so Thanksgiving dinner, now you will be cooking for a lot of people. What's the highlight of your offering at the Four Seasons this year?
I mean, we're offering a huge, lavish buffet. So we're having turkeys, we're having prime rib, we're having chili and sea bass, we're having all these different sides and vegetables. I mean, it's huge. You know, and what's amazing is we're cooking our turkeys a little different this year. We're cooking them in a kahachina.
So what's that?
Kahachina is, when I was in Hawaii, we bury our pigs and make a imu, which is an underground oven. Over here, we can't bury things in the ground because it's a little too hard to dig.
Yeah.
So, and plus we don't have the 8 hours. So we have an above ground box where we put all the turkeys in, and then we set a fire on top of the box. It's a special box designed for cooking. So it cooks from the top down, and inside this box, it's a huge convection oven, and it's just a fun way for people to see the flames outside. So we grill stuff on top of the box while the turkeys are cooking down below, and then it's a big ceremony. Once the turkey's done, after about 2.5 hours, we lift up the firebox on top, and then we pull out these beautifully roasted turkeys. I mean, the steam is coming out, the golden skin. And you see all the vegetables on the bottom that are just full of flavor. You see the juices on the bottom. We take that, we make a stock out of it, turn that into a gravy. Oh, I'm salivating now just thinking about it. But it's so much fun. It's exciting for the guests to see it. We still have more reservations available if anyone's interested. And, yeah, it's a fun way to bring family and friends together.
Yeah.
And that's what holidays are about for me. You know, you're celebrating with friends, family, all around food and, you know, afterwards you just talk about, you know, whatever, you know.
And afterwards you're filled with this sense, false though it may be, that life is so good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, you put your stress on hold for a couple hours, and then you enjoy friends and family. And then after that, you go back to your real life.
You go back to your real life. Well, Andrew Cooper, I want to thank you so much for being with us this year talking about Thanksgiving dinner.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Andrew Cooper is executive chef at Terra Restaurant at the Four Seasons Rancho Encantado, which is right north of Santa Fe. And I just want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you later on the Radio Cafe.
Happy holidays.
And we're going to go out today with Johnny Cash. Happy Thanksgiving.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator now when Thanksgiving is due. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue in your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train, the moon rise over a prairie, no love that you've made new. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. When the time comes to be going, it won't be in sorrow and tears. I'll kiss you goodbye and I'll go on the way, grateful for all of the years. I thank for all that you gave me, for teaching me what love can do. Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And Thanksgiving Day for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.